After wishing everyone a Shavua Tov, we're here on Daf Lamed Vov Hamed Aleph. We got up to the two dots, which is about halfway, a little bit more than halfway through the Amud. We got a little bit further, but let's review. So the first word in the line is Islandus. And this is a Braisa that establishes that Islandus does not get Knas. We had this Braisa a little bit earlier on the Daf. Islandus ain lo lo knas velo pitui. And Pashtus, the way we understood this brisa is that since an islandus has no transitional period called narus, she goes straight from katnus. At the age of 20, she goes into bagrus. Therefore, she's not included in the parish of Ones and Mefata because those parishes were written with regard to a naira. Urimini. The Gemara now asks a stira from another Braisa. The Braisa says, Achereshes vashota ve'ha'ailanis yeshlem knas. The Braisa clearly contradicts the original Braisa, and there is a knas in the case of ailanis. This Braisa that the Gemara is quoting now has another piece to it, and that is the Yeshlem Tainus Besulin, meaning that an islandess is Becheskas Besula. If a man marries her under the assumption that she is a Besula, and therefore he's willing to pay the Ksubas Besula, which is Masayim Zuz, then we find out that lo and behold, she's a Be'ula. He comes to Bezdin with the Tainus Besulin, and he's believed to be Mafsid Hod Ksuba. This is based on a Chazaka of Eidolim Toreach Bisuda Umafsida. He would not have spent all that money, etc., and now deliberately be Mafsid HaLiksuba the very morning after the wedding. That just doesn't make any sense. Therefore, he has credibility when he tines a tines psulim. Now, we're going to talk about tines psulim a little later on the two different categories. There's something called the tines domim, and then there's something called pesach pesuch matzasi. Emir Tzashem, we'll get to that later. Let's relate to another part of this braisa, and that is chereshes veshota. The Gemara later on is going to ask a stira, contradiction, as far as chereshes and shota are concerned. Do they have a tainus psulin, or do they not have a tainus psulin? Because they may have been a mukas eitz, and they didn't even notice it, or they didn't pay attention to it, they didn't tell it to anybody, and therefore, when he married her b'cheskas b'ula. So that's going to be an issue that we get to a little bit later. But as far as islandess is concerned, she has a cheskas psula, according to this braisa, therefore she gets knas, and there would be tainus psulin to be mafsid of the ksuba because he was fooled, and she was not in fact a besula, so he claims. Now, the Gemara posits a stira regarding islandess between these two braisas, whether she does collect knas or she doesn't. And the Gemara is now absolutely amazed by this question, by the very underlying premise that there's a stira here, because we have a clear-cut machlokas about the status of an islandess vis-a-vis ones of mefata knas between Rabbi Meir and Chachomim, namely the question whether a katana receives knas or does not receive knas. So why did you even posit this as a contradiction? The answer is so simple. The first braisa that islandess collects knas, that islandess is excluded from knas, reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir, who holds that a katana does not collect knas. It's only below Sielisha that she could be Mahavis Atzma. But the braisa that holds that an islandess does collect knas, this is the last braisa that we just quoted about islandess, Chereshes, and Shota, Harabana, that reflects the sheet of the Chachamim, that derived from Na'ara, the absence of the hay, to include even a katana, that a katana is included in knas. So the Gemara says, with the Kari La, my de Kari La. What was the Kore, meaning the one who spoke at the Beis Medrash and posited this contradiction, what was he thinking? And the Gemara is now going to answer that he did find a contradiction, which he had trouble resolving, but that wasn't the contradiction about idleness, but rather a contradiction of a different sort, based on a different brisa, as we'll see. Mishum de islay lemir me'achriti in loye. There was another stira between this brisa and a different brisa. And now we're introducing a third brisa. And this stira about a third brisa is related to Chereshes and Shota, because the previous brisa that we just quoted maintained that Chereshes and Shota do collect Knas, they are included in Cheskas Psula. But here we have a third brisa, Chereshes Vashota, etc., Ein Lehem Tainas Psula, which presumably means that they're Becheskas Be'ula. So let's read this third brisa. The brisa says, Chereshes Vashota Vabogeres Umukas Eitz Ein Lehem Tainas Psula. Now, in the case of Bogeres, the Gemara establishes, and Rashi later is going to quote this, that Bogeres Besule Kolim Alehem, with maturity, her Besulin disappear, so to speak. And that might mean that the disintegration of her Besulin, of that membrane in her body, indicates that when he comes and claims, I didn't find Dumim, that doesn't prove anything. Or the opposite. It could be that Bogeres Ein Lehem Tainas Besulin means that the place that's usually tsar, it's very narrow, widens with the passage of time. So again, this all reflects what I indicated before, that there are two categories of Tainas Psulin. There's the Tainas Domim, and there's the Tainas Pesach Pasuch. It's not clear which of the two, or perhaps both, are excluded in the case of Bulgaris. Could be what's excluded is Domim. Well, later on we're going to see that even a Bulgaris perhaps does have some minimum amount of Domim. So this is a Tainus Psulin as far as Tainus Domim is concerned. But what it says here in the Brisa, Ein Lehem Tainus Psulin, that's the Taina of Pesach Pasuach, because that changes with the maturity in time. Now we have the case of Mukas Eitz. And once again, when we say that Mukas Eitz Ein Lehem Tainus Psulin, we have to ask the question, which Tainus Psulin are we talking about? Are we talking about Tainus Domim or a Tainus Pesach Pasuach? And the Pashas would be that Mukas Eitz, because she breaks her Besulin, she wouldn't have a Tainus Domim. It's not clear that Mukas Eitz would also open up the Mokum Tsar such that he doesn't have a Tainus Pesach Pasuach. But you do get the impression that at least one dimension, you know, it's, if in Bogeris we're going to assume that she doesn't have a Tainus Domim, No. Let's go the other way around. That if in Bogeres she doesn't have he cannot tain against the Tainas Pesach Pasuach. So too, in the case of Mukas Eitz, he has no claim of Pesach Pasuach. Again, this is all under the assumption that he, the Makadesh, the Nosei Esaisha, he was under the impression that she was a Mukas Eitz. He knew about it. If he knew about it up front, then Ein Lehem Tainus Besulin, he can't say Lo Matzasi LeBitcha Besulin, to be Mafsid of the Ksuba, and claim Mekach Tos, because he was aware of the fact that she was a Mukas Eitz. Or perhaps in certain cases, we assume that she's a Mukas Eitz. For example, perhaps a Chereshes Veshota, we assume that she's a Mukas Eitz, and she didn't tell her mommy about it. But in any event, herein we find the stira, because the second brisa of the series of three brises had committed itself to the position that Chereshes Veshota Yesh Lehem Tainus Psulin. Here it says Chereshes Veshota Ein Lehem Tainus Psulin. Then we get to a third case here in this brisa, leaving Bogeres and Chereshes Veshota on the side, and that's Suma. Suma Yesh Lehem Tainus Psulin, which in itself is interesting, because we have to assume that the Suma would have somehow notified, or on the contrary, in the case of Suma, she wouldn't have notified anyone about the Mukaseit situation, but he, as a Mekadesh, as a Noseis HaSuma, would have had to assume up front that she is a Mukaseit. The islandess, Yesh Lahem, Tainus Pesulin. So in Suma, it seems from this brisa that he can assume naively that she is a Besula, and he doesn't have to be aware up front of the statistical probability that she is a Mukas Eitz, and therefore he was fooled and he has a Tainus Pesulin. In the case of Islandess, again, this brisa reflects the shita that seems to be, let's say, universally accepted, that in the case of Islandess, although you could wonder whether or not she has knas, and that would depend upon the machlokas Rav Meir Chachomim regarding a ketana, but as far as Tainus Pesulin is concerned, there's no reason in the world that she should be. We should put her in a question mark situation as far as her Cheskas Pesulin is concerned. Therefore, he naively has every right to assume, in the absence of any knowledge to the contrary, that she is a Pesula. And he has a right, therefore, to Taina Lo Matzasi Pesula Levitcha Pesulin, and therefore he could be Mafsid of the Ksuba as a Mekach Tos. That would be in the case of Islandess. And that would seem to be universally accepted. As far as Suma is concerned, there's a chiddush here in this brisa that he has every right to assume, even in the case of Suma, that she is b'cheskas pesula. And therefore, if he finds her to be a be'ula with his tainus lo matzasi ha besula, he can be mafsid ha l'ksubi yeshlam tainus pesula. Sumchas Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, the end of this brisa quotes Rabbi Meir, Suma Ein Lehem Tainus Pesulin, that he has to assume, even in the absence of any knowledge, one way or the other, that she is a Mukas Eitz, and he's not being fooled into assuming, to believing that she is a Besulin, if he has no Taina to be Mafsid of the Ksuv Lo Matzasiya Besula. In any event, when it comes to Chereshis and Shota, according to this brisa, he has no Tainus Pesulin. That's what it says here. Chereshis v'Shota v'Abogeres v'Mukaseitz ein lehem Tainus Pesulin. That contradicts the previous brisa that we quoted today, that says that he does have a Tainus Pesulin in the cases of Chereshis and Shota. Omer Rav Sheshes Lokasha Ha Rav Gamliel v'Ha Rav Yoshua. So here we have to learn a Mishnah back in the first perek of Ksubis. On Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, the Mishnah transmits a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, revolving around the case of a Tainas Besulin. Now, we'll keep in mind that between Erisin and Nesuin, there's a 12-month period, during which time she's an Eshesish, but she lives in her father's house. If at the culmination of this 12-month period, when he takes her into the chuppah and clinches the nisuin, and then he has a relationship with her, he claims that I didn't find it to be a basula. If she doesn't deny the claim, but she says that misharastani nenasti, that during this 12-month period of time, much to the detriment, to the negative luck that you have, I was raped. And therefore, assuming that he's not a Kohen, he's allowed to marry her. And the question is she believed to say, Misharastani Nenasti? So according to Rav Gamliel, she's believed to claim Misharastani Nenasti. She saves herself the Ksuba. And the reason for this is because the burden of proof is on him. Why is that? She, from the moment of Erisin, she has rights to Ksuba. Again, she cannot collect that Ksuba until Nesuin, but the rights, or the Shibudim, shall we call it, to pay the Ksuba are generated by the Eris in itself. So she has a chazaka that she's holding on to this ksuba. Now, he wants to be mafsid her the ksuba. She has a right to say, look, my friend, Mishrastani Nanasti, during the course, the duration of the Erisin, I was a victim of a rape situation, and there's no reason why I should lose my ksuba. Your mazel, your bad luck was goring that you would not be able to clinch this marriage with a basula. And it's similar to the case of a person who buys a field, and after the document was signed and sealed and delivered, after the kinyan was clinched, a flood inundated the field, and he could say, Mazel Chagorem, that's your fault, the kinyan was already chal. That's the shita of Rav Gamliel. She has a chazaka, she has a shibud that she's holding on to. Shibud haksubi is meshubud to pay the ksuba. And the Gemara assumes that the same logic would apply to the case of Chereshis and Shota. That even if she doesn't claim that Misharastani Nenasti, she would be in that mode, so to speak, there would be a chazaka that of Misharastani Nenasti. This we'll soon see is based on the principle called Psach Picha Le'ilem Taininon Liasme, which we'll explain in just a minute. Now, if a man marries a chereshis or a shota, and she doesn't put forth a claim because she doesn't have das to put forth a claim, he cannot be mafsid of the ksuba, because had she been healthy, she would be believed with her taina that there was an onus after the erisin. That's the brisa that says ein lahem tainas psulin, reflecting the shita of Rav Gamliel. The Mishnah on Yud Beis quotes Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua disagrees. He has the principle called Lomi Pia Anuchayim, that she's not believed to say Mishirastani Nenasti. And we know that she's a Ba'ula. And why should we believe her to say that she's a Ba'ula because of an onus situation that took place Tachto? I mean, there's so many other possibilities. It could have been a ratzon. There could have been an onus that took place before the erisin. And once we know that she's a ba'ula, and she doesn't deny that fact, and not only that, he's believed based on the chazok enem toreach besuda mafsida to say that she was not a besuda at the time of the marriage. He found it to be a ba'ula. Why should we believe her to farenfa to answer up this ba'ula situation in such a way of mishrastani nenasti? Now, she could have a migu in a case where we only know that she was a ba'ula based on her admission, her confession, so to speak. And that's called hapesh also hapesh hitir, a kind of a migu. That she could have been shoseka, she could have said nothing. But in this case, where we know that she's a ba'ula based on the claim of the Baal, she's not believed to say Misharastani Nenasti. And the Gemara now applies this logic of Rabbi Yeshua to the case of Chereshes Vishota. That if he finds her to be a ba'ula, and again, as we said over and over again, he's believed to say that he found her to be, he discovered that she's a ba'ula, then she's not believed with any sort of taina to say, well, the reason that you found me to be a ba'ula was because of reasons X, Y, or Z. In this case, most logically, she would have claimed mukas eitz. And the mukas eitz took place tachtov after the shibud haksuba was clinched and generated by the erisin. So now the Gemara takes Rav Sheshes and dissects it, and objects to Rav Sheshes. Emar the Shamet Leila Rav Gamliel. Where did we find Rav Gamliel who said that she's believed? Hecha de Katana Ihi. Only in a case where she came forward with a claim and she said Misharastani Nenasti. Right, that's not going to have any impact on our cases of Chereshes and Shota, where she doesn't come forward with any claim. Hecha de Lo Katana Ihi Mishamet Le. did we hear from Rav Gamliel that if she doesn't come forward with a claim to protect her rights to the ksuba, that we should give her the ksuba, water the ksuba, and undermine the Baal's claim of Mekach Toz? In the Gemara says, yes, the logic of Rav Gamliel should apply in this case, even in the absence of a taina. Why? Came under Yom Rav Gamliel Mehemna, since she has nemanis to say Mishras Taina Nasti, if only she was a bardas and she was capable of putting forward that claim, and she did so. Kigon Zu, but in this case of Chereshes or Shota, where she has the status of an Elam, which is a mute, in other words, she doesn't have the ability to make this taina, she's not a bardas, is the pasuk says Psach Picha Le'ilam, we open the mouth of a mute person, which means that based on a pasuk of Mishlei Lamed Aleph, that Bezdin will taina on her behalf. It's almost as if we don't need a taina, we don't need a counter taina. Again, if she's capable of a taina, then we anticipate the taina, and if she doesn't put forth that claim, that's called Hodas Bal Dinim. But in a case where we don't anticipate the taina, then we put forth the taina on her behalf. Now, if you take a look at Tosus, Divra Maschil HaChereshes, if in a case where she herself does not put forward the taina of Mishras Tani Nenasti, then what happens is that Mishras Tani Nenasti becomes what we call a Tainas Shema. In Hilchas Kol Shem Mishpat, a taina to claim money has to be what's called a taina's bari. And certainly when you're coming to be motzi momen mechazkasi, you need a taina's bari, which means a definite certain claim. Now what we're going to do now is we're going to be motzi the momen of the ksuba from the baal based on a taina's shema. Because there's no way that Psach Picha Le'ilim could achieve the level of a taina's bari. We don't know that she was a mukaseitz or mishras tani nenasti. We don't have any proof to that effect. And therefore, how could we be motzi mama miches kasa? The counter argument to defend the pshat in the Gemara that we presented, which is based on Rashi, is that she has a muhzakus in the ksuba, and we could be motzi. We could be motzi this mama because of har chazaka miksuba. Alternatively, we could defend Rashi on a different basis, that we could be motzi mama miches kaso, even if there's no tainus bari, if the tovea himself doesn't have a tainus bari. So in this case, the Baal doesn't have the ability to be makrish, to contradict the taina mishras taina nenasti or mukas eitz. He doesn't know one way or the other. So his taina is a taina shema. And that's based on a sugya later on in Masechta Ksubos on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Behema shenimtzeis treifa biyad hatabach v'lo huglad piya maka is ein yoduim achar shalokha nitrifa v'hefsi sushal hatabach o ad shalokha so we don't know if this animal became a trefa before the sale was clinched or afterwards. If it was before the sale, then there's a mekach tos. I never bought a trefa. If, on the other hand, the trefa happened after the kinyan was clinched, then this tafcha sadeh, that's your problem. And there the din is, in that sugya, that even if the money wasn't paid yet, the buyer would have to deliver the money. And how do we take money out of its chazaka, motzi mamon miyad hatabach, even though he's muchzak? And that's based on a principle called mishen nolad hasafik bershuso. It all depends where the safik was generated. And wherever the safik is generated, that's the person who has to bring a proof. And there the suffix was generated in the reshus of the tabach, the buyer. And if we apply that logic here, if we clone it here to our scenario, the Baal marries a woman b'chezkas psula, he tainas that she's a ba'ula, now he doesn't have to pay the ksuba, but since the suffix as to whether she was nivala before the erisin or after the erisin was nolad b'reshuso, then the din is that if he wants to patur himself up the ksuba, the chovas raya, the obligation to prove that, is incumbent upon him. So this is the principle, getting back to asugya psach picha le'ile. And at this point, we have reconciled the contradiction with regard to Chereshis and Shota. That braisa that maintains that there is no tainas besulin in Chereshis v'Shota reflects the shita of Rabban Gamliel, and we apply the principle of psach picha le'ile, because had she been a bardash, she could have claimed and been believed with Mishras Tanina Nasti. The other braisa, that a man who marries a chereshes and shota does have rights to claim mekach tos lomitz asiya besulin, and he can be mafsid haksuva, that reflects the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, which means that even had she been a bardas and put forth her own personal claim of shiras tani nanasti is lomi pion nechayim, we would not believe her. Now let's talk about bogeres. You recall that the braisa, the last braisa that we quoted, says bogeres elam tainas besulin. The Gemara assumes at this point that the issue of Bogeres is that she doesn't have a Tainas Domin. She doesn't have Dom. So the Gemara immediately asks, V'amar Rav, Bogeres nosin lo laila rishon. Here the issue is whether the Dom that she sees as a result of this Bia, the first Bia, when the Besulin were broken, do we view that dam as dam besulin, which is not metame ben nidus, or do we assume this is dam in amoka, this is dam nidus? And the answer is, we give her one night. In other words, if she sees dam belaila rishona, then we attribute that dam to dam besulin, and therefore it's not metame habetumus nidus. But in any event, it's clear, and again, this is in the case of Bogeris. In the case of Katana, we'll give her four nights. It takes a long time till all the dam comes out and the maka is healed. But in the case of Bogeris, at least we give her one night. Stochweistois, we see from this clearly that a Bogeris has dam. So if he comes forward and he says, I didn't find dam, lomitzasia besula, he should be believed. Why does it say here that Bogeris ain't law? Tainas Besulin. So now we turn to Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. Either Katayin Tainas Damim Hachinami. If he claims he didn't find Dam, then he's believed with his Taina, even in the case of a Bogeres. Hacha B'mayaskinon, our case is the Katayin Tainas Pesach Pasuach. And in the case of a Bogeres, there's no Tainas Pesach Pasuach, which means that the makom, which is usually tsar, rachma tsar, that place, that vaginal canal, is usually narrow, because she's a nara. That biological situation changes when she becomes a bogeris. Therefore, if he claims that he found the pesach pasuah, that doesn't prove a thing. You know, he wants to claim that she was a bu'ula. She's not a bu'ula. This is a natural and well anticipated situation that she would not have a Pesach sosim. She would have a Pesach Pasuach because she's a Bogeres, and a Bogeres has a Pesach Pasuach. That's natural. That has nothing to do with proving that she had a Be'ilah. It's therefore, we have to come back to the case of Tainas Besulin. And Enochinami, if he had a Tainas Domim. And Enochinami, if he had a Tainas Domim, even in case of Bogeres, he would be believed. Now, let's just add the following two points over here. Number one, Afsha ein hu yochol ochiach dvarav lefanenu, mikomakav yesh chazok lebal she'en on toreach besuda nesun mafsida. So once again, when he claims that he found no dam, he would be believed, because otherwise he's being mafsid the seuda by breaking up this marriage. That's point number one. Now let's go on to the sefer of the braisa. Sumchas om b'shum Rabbi Meir. Suma ein lo tainas besul. So a man marries a suma and he claims lo matzasi lebitcha besul, and he wants to be mafsid of the ksuv. He's not believed. What does that mean? My time of the sumchas. What is the reasoning that underlies Rabbi Meir? What's the Unterschied? What's the difference between a Suma and a woman who's not a Suma? Why can't a Baal claim Lo Matzasi B'Lebitcha B'Suin and B'Bafsid of Iksu? But the Gemara in Tzomer of Zera Mifneishen Echvetes Al Gavi Karka. In the case of a Suma, he has to assume up front that she's a Ba'ula. He marries her B'Cheskes Ba'ula. What does that mean, B'Cheskes Ba'ula? Not that she had a Be'ila, but that maybe she was a Mukad Eitz. Why? Because Darka Shal Isha Nechvetes Al Gabi Karka. Now some Mefarshim explain that since she's a Suma and she doesn't see, it's very common for her to fall, and as a result it was breakage of the Psulim, and she lost her Psulim, and he marries her Al Das Kain. He has to know up front, he can't be naive about it, that since she's a Suma, she lost her Psulim. And once he agrees to pay the ksuba, knowing full well that she doesn't have besulin, that is a commitment that's binding. And any yachal liton, he can't find, he can't claim lo matzasi l'bitcha besulin to be mafsid of the ksuba. So the Gemara is not happy about this. Kula nami chibute mechavte. You haven't explained here the difference between suma and other girls, other women, because right now the Gemara doesn't assume that since there's a greater propensity, a greater statistical probability that she would have had this chavata, that puts her into a different category as far as Tainus Pesulin is concerned. And the Gemara answers that there's an extra element here to differentiate between a Suma and Shar Noshim. Kula Ros Umaras Le'imon. Right? Kol Abonos B'Shash Nechvetos B'Sulis Noshoshos is that she comes and she shows her mother what goes on over here. I mean, she's absolutely in shock. You know, she finds Dam. She wants to notify Mommy about it. However, and therefore, in the case of Shar Noshim, if the mother knew that her daughter was already a Mukas Eitz and there wouldn't be any Dam, she would have had the obligation to notify the Baal before the wedding. And if she didn't do so, he has every right to assume and anticipate that she'll be a full-fledged Besula. And he was fooled. He married Al-Das, that he's marrying a Besula. And he can claim, Lo Matzasi L'Bitcha Besula Hafsida Ksuba. But Zo, in the case of a Suma, Eino Roa, she doesn't know that she had Dam, V'Eino Mara Le'ima, and therefore no one fooled him. He has to assume that this possibility and this event may have happened, and he marries Aldas Kane, and therefore he cannot taina mekach tos. Now here we have a tosfos Dima Maskel Kuhu, and we forgot to mention the top tosfos here, Dima Maskel E. Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa. We said that in the case of Bogeres, there's no Tainus Pesulin, and we explained the sugya according to Rashi. It means that he cannot tie the Pesach Patsuach Masasi. I just want to mention here the Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who says, Fakir, he says just the opposite, Lehepuch. His interpretation has it that in Bogeres, she doesn't have enough Dam Pesulin for him to claim, oh, I didn't find Dam. But she's not Pesach. But she's not a Pesach Pasua. So again, she doesn't have Dam Besulin, but her Pesach is not Pasua. So he can taina Pesach Pasua. He can taina Pesach Pasua. Katras Tarashi, who holds that he doesn't have a tain of Pesach Pasuach because as a result of maturity or development, as we said before, the Pesach is already Pasuach. Rabbeinu Chananel says the opposite. In the case of Ogeres, a Pesach is not Pasuach, and therefore he can claim Pesach Pasuach. Alright, that's number one. Number two, getting back to this Rashi Kulu, Sumchis is not saying this on his own. He's quoting Rabbi Meir. Now Rabbi Meir, back on Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph, in the Sugya Mukas Eitz, opines that even if he did not realize before the Nesuah that she's a Mukas Eitz, nevertheless she still gets a Ksuba Masayan. So this whole discussion here about Mukas H, which is Sumchus in the name of Rabbi Meir, the way Rashi interprets the sugi is very odd, because he's telling me that he doesn't have a taina of Besulin in the case of a Suma, because the whole explanation here, and in effect she, you know, he comes to claim that he didn't know that she, you know, they tricked him, they fooled him, they didn't notify him that she's a Mukasis. Well, the truth is, Reb Meir holds that even if he didn't know she was a Mukasis and he finds out that she's a Mukasis, that's not considered enough for Taina of a Mekach Tos to be Mapsel of Iksuba Masayan. So Tosa suggests an alternate interpretation here, that the difference between Suma and other Noshim is that with regard to other Noshim, Yeshlan Tainis Pesulin, why? Because im b'shosh etona b'alshul matzasi b'sul hekhisha yishe b'tona shi b'sula ein shayach litlos shi mukas eitz. So when we say, this is a twist in Tosis, that when we say that in other Noshim there's a tainus b'sulim, what we mean to say that is that since at the time that he put forward his taina that he didn't find it to be b'sula, she was machishim. She said to the Bezdin that he's full of hot air. He's a liar. He's fabricating the truth. In such a case, we don't raise the possibility of mukas eis. She has already closed the door on that possibility of mukas eis, since she didn't put that claim forward. In the case of Suma, what we're saying here is that when the Baal says, "Oh, I didn't find Basulin," we can assume that maybe she's a mukas eis. The fact that she didn't put forward that claim is only because she wasn't aware of the fact that she lost, you know, she had a bleeding situation, because she didn't even tell, and she wouldn't have told her mother either, because she didn't even see it. So that's why she has a different din, and there's no tainus pasul. Now the Gemara goes back to the first braisa that we had quoted back on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis with regard to Yotzeis Mishum Shemra is Ein La Knas Shel Onus Mafat. The Gemara explains this. Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra Ein La Lo Knas Velo Pitui. So the Gemara asks, what's going on here? First of all, The entire case, you know, the Hekatimsa, it just defies imagination, because Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra Baskilahi, if the husband claims based on two witnesses which he subpoenaed to Bezdin and they testified that she had znus between Eris and Nisuin, she should be put to death with Skila. And therefore we must assume that since she had this adulterous relationship, she's already a ba'ula, then how can you talk about an onus and mafata in this case, and he doesn't pay knas because she's a ba'ula? What do you mean she doesn't pay knas, she's a ba'ula? Obviously she's a ba'ula, I mean she's being put to death based on the testimony of two edim. So what's the issue here? Does she have a cheskes besua? Does she not? Now, if you take a look at Tosis, Dibra Masla Yotzeis Mishum Shemra Baskilahi, Tosis raises a possibility which he rejects, that the underlying premise of the kasha, the makshin of the Gemara, is that since she's chayeves misa based on this bias nus, certainly there would not be any knas because of kimleib drami, meaning that this was a case of baal eishes ish. And Tosfos rejects this because the Mishnah in the Braisa that lists all the cases of arayas where there's no chi of knas because of kimleib drami. And muchach lo shayach lomer shedin poshetu. If the Gemara is asking pshita here, if that's what the Gemara means, then
why is the pshit? Because the Kimlei V'Ramine, I mean, the rice of the Mishnah goes out of its way to establish Kimlei V'Ramine to pat you up from knas. And that's a big chiddush, because, you know, we don't apply the principle of chiddush echidshat Torah b'knas, chiddush rachmona b'knas. So Tosfos interprets that what the Gemara's kash is based on, that since she's a yotzeis mishum sheimran, she's a baskila, is pshita sheim la knas, because the Braisa at the beginning mentions the arayas and tells us that arayas ain lem knas. Omer avsheshes hachi kamer. This is what the Braisa says in my mishi yotza aleha sheimra bialdusa. Is ain lo lo knas velo pitu. Somehow she had a bad rumor, you know, she has a bad reputation, let's put it that way. And the reputation that's out there, we apply the principle where there's smoke, there's fire, is that she already had a znus relationship. That's the type of loose woman, loose behavior style that she lives. So there's no knas in this situation, because we assume that she's a ba'ula. So again, how to fit this into the language of the Braisa? The Braisa doesn't mean that yotza mi baila machma shemra, but yotza le kol bi aldusa shezinsa. Now, at this point, the Gemara, this is the Sugi Rav Papa and Rava, I mean, this is going to be a very fascinating Sugi. It doesn't belong to so much to the classic Ksuvas and Yonim of Hefsi Ksuba, of Tainus Pesulim, of Onus and Mefata and Knas, but it is derived from our sugya here of Yotzeis Mishum Shema. Omrav Papa, Shmamina, let's derive a conclusion from Yotzeis Mishum Shema, which means, according to Rav Sheshes, that Yotzo L'Shem Rabbi Aldusa, that we consider and give heavy weight and validity to a kol, right, a rumor about a woman that she had be'ila, and therefore we are mafsid her the knas. And let's apply that same principle to shtar. Let's say, for example, a malve produces a shtar against the love, and there's a certain rumor going around about this shtar. Hai shtara ria, ria is miloshen ra'ua, lo magbidin behi, the malve cannot collect his debt with this shtar, because there's a rumor going around that this shtar is a false shtar, it's a counterfeit. And since we saw already in the case of knas, of onus and mafata, that the shemra is significant halachically, and it undermines her ability to collect the knas, so to hear this shemra of shem mezuyah on this shtar, that makes into a shtar rea, is enough to undermine the ability, the validity of the shtar in the hands of the malva to collect his debt. Hechi domin, where it says, what's the case? Ilei v'denofek kol alei this shtar zayfahu. If, as we interpreted before, there was a kol, a rumor about this shtar, that it's a counterfeit, and based on our rights, so we're going to derive the conclusion that the shtar therefore is invalid. The kavasei hach v'denofek alei kol adiznai. Here too, there's a kol about this woman that she was mezana, and therefore she loses her knas because we assume she's a ba'ula based on this kol. Veha omar rova yotza la shem mezana ba'ir ein choshishin la. Here we have a case of a woman who wants to get married to a kohen, and the rumor about this woman that's circulating is that she's a wanton woman and she had be'ila. Once she had be'ila, we have to consider a serious possibility that she had be'ila with a non-Jew, and goya bo bas Yisrael zasah zonah, he passes herself for kahuna, she becomes asura to kahuna. Says Rabbi, no, we don't rely on this kol. The halacha doesn't validate and recognize the validity of the kol that she was mezana be'ir, that she's out there having znus, and a kohen's allowed to marry her. So we assume that she still maintains her cheskas kashrus, her cheskas besula, and she's not a surah l'kahuna, proving that we don't rely on a kol, on yotzele kol. So that cannot be the case that in the price of Yotzis Mishum Shemra, as Rav Sheshis understood it, is Yotzele Shemra Bialdusa. Now again, you might wonder why the Gemara is objecting to this interpretation of Rav Sheshis based on Rava. Maybe Rav Sheshis and Rava are at loggerheads on this point. But right now we're going to assume that we accept the Shita of Rava, and we accept the Shita of Rav Sheshis, and we want to reconcile this. Ella, but rather what Rav Sheshis had in mind here in interpreting the Brice of Yotzis Mishum Shemra is the Asu Beitrei V'Amri L'Didhu Tavat Tanhi Bi'isura. Two witnesses come to testify that this woman approached them, solicited them for a Mnavera, for some sort of a Znus relationship. That's already a horse of a different color. That's not just that some sort of an external chash, a pritzus or something like that. This is something that's very grave, very serious. The kavase hacha, and if we apply this now to Rav Papa's derivation with regard to ishtar chov, what would be a parallel corresponding case? The osu betray, mi'amri l'dithu omer lehu zaifuli, that two witnesses were approached by this person, this malva who's holding on to the shtar, and he tried to convince them to be mezayif shtar. Now they refused, of course, but since they testified that he had approached them to be mezayif the shtar, even though they themselves refused to capitulate, but maybe he did find corroborating partners who did agree to be mezayif the shtar. So the Gemara is not happy with this. Bishlei mahasim, in the case of znus, shchiche, prutzim, even if these eidim who testified that she approached them for znus, they didn't agree to have this znus, but you know what, if she's that type of woman, she'll always be able to find some agreeable partners. And we have to assume that she found those who would have znus with her, and therefore we have a chazok that she's a ba'ula, and she forfeits her haknas. And that's what Rashi says here, Dibra Masel Bishleima, that she doesn't have knas because she's mechazer sachar aznus. She's looking for a partner of znus, and we have an assumption that she found such a partner, that she succeeded in her enterprise. Now, that means that she forfeits her cheskas pesula, and she has a cheskas beula, and she doesn't get knas. Now, there's a comment here in the name of the Yamshel Shlomo that even if the Eidim would testify that she did have dam besulin after the be'il of the onus on mafata, we would go as far as to say that this dam is a pirtza dechuga, meaning that although she had bia in the past, nevertheless, some remnants of her besulin survived that be'ila. So that even though we do find damim, and the damim are on the sheets, and the eidim can testify that behalf, we still assume that she had be'ila because of this kol, that she's mechazer sachar znus, she's looking for a consenting partner. However, the Yamshel Shlomo quotes a Rambam in the second parak of Nair Besula that once she was mafkis atzma, lo chiva haTorah knas aleha. It has nothing to do with do we have to assume she had she had be'ila, she didn't have be'ila. She's a mafkeres as atzma, and that puts her into a new category, and she's excluded by the Torah itself from knas. Now the Gemara raises the following objection: how can Rav Papa derive his din about shtar and make the shtar ra'ua into a shtar posel based on our sugya that she doesn't get knas, especially mahasam in the case of znus shchichi elahacha imhu huchzad kol Yisrael mi huchzad? She'll find a consenting partner, but in the case of someone who's looking for two witnesses to counter, to sign a shtar, a counterfeit shtar, which members of Klal Yisrael are going to agree to sign such a shtar? Is Kol Yisrael mihuchzaku? They're gonna listen to him and they're gonna be mezayif for shtar. We don't have that many zayfonim around that would counterfeit a shtar, that would agree to do so. You know, you're really, in a sense, placing upon Klal Yisrael a real serious question. Again, znus, she could always find some sort of lowlife, some sort of parutz that's going to agree. I mean, you know, Yosef HaTzadik was so great that he didn't break down, you know, despite the pressures here. And that's the exception to it. So the Gemara answers Hachanami here too, with regard to a shtar chov, came under Komahadar Azifa, since he's looking for two agreeable partners who will counterfeit signatures, who will forge signatures, and if he doesn't find them, he's not so desperate. Why? Amar Zefi Zayef Fikosa. He himself, in the worst case scenario from his perspective, right, in the fallback position, he'll forge the signatures himself. That's why Rav Papa said that, just like in the case of the Yotzi Shemra, that she was Mizana because Eidim tell us that she approached them, she loses her knas. So too, if Eidim tell us that he approached them to forge this, to counterfeit the signatures, he'll find some way of coming up with a counterfeit shtar. That's called a shtar rea. So it means a shtar that two witnesses signed, or supposedly signed. We have to assume that the signatures are not original, they're not valid signatures. Now let's say that the Eidim who are testifying here, they're not testifying on a specific shtar. They testify that he approached them to be mezayif a shtar. Do we say that kol shtaroso b'cheskas psulim? Not just this shtar is possible, but any shtar that this malva will produce will always assume to be possible. So that's going to be a machlokes rishonim between the Rosh and Rabbeinu Kreskas. Rabbeinu Kreskas assumes that we don't possible anything but this particular shtar. And even if he would have another shtar in his hands, in his possession, on that same person that he's trying to collect from, again, a different amount of money, is we would not passel the shtar. But the rushes of the opinion know that since the Eidim testified that he approached them to forge a shtar, therefore any shtar that he comes to produce would automatically be considered a shtar ra'uah. I guess you could say it's not a din in the chefs of this particular shtar that they're testifying about, but rather it's a din in the gavra, and he's going to have to do tshuva to prove himself, so that henceforth we can accept his shtaros as valid. Now at this point we're making a siyum on the first mishnah in the third parak of Ksuvos. We're on to the second mishnah. The first mishnah had an entire enumerated list of psulos, and they collect knas. And now the Mishnah is going to say, here's the exception to the rule: v'elu she'en lehem knas. Okay. Now, again, I mentioned psulos, but there are also what's called pegumos. Pegumos means not women who are asuros, but women who we have reason to suspect that maybe she doesn't have a cheskas besula. And the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak established that she does have a cheskas besula. But in those very cases, if we change just one little detail, then she does not have a cheskas besula. And these are the cases of Gioris and Shvuya and Shivcha. So Habal Gioris al Shvuya al Shivcha sheniftu v'shenisgayru v'shenishtachru v'em yiseros al b'nos shol shana v'yomechet. Right, in the first Mishnah, the pigeon of the Shvuya or the Gerus of the Gioris or the Shichur of the Shivcha Knas, all these took place before they were 3 years old, and therefore she's not ruya l'bia besulel chozros. So even in the worst case scenario, they had be'ila, but they would still be besulos. But here's a case where the redemption or the freedom of the shivcha or the actual maisa giur took place after the girls were 3 years and up, and they were ruyos l'bia. Now these women have a cheskas hefker, so to speak, meaning that we have every reason to assume that there was a be'ila. Again, let's differentiate between the case of a gioris and the case of a shvuya. I mean, those are two different sibos. You know, in the case of a gioris, we're assuming that there's a free lifestyle amongst the non-Jewish people, and therefore she may have had a be'ila. In the case of a shvuya, because she was captured, that's more of a reason to assume that the goyim who captured her would have raped her. So if she's already 3 years old, then she loses her cheskas psula, she has a cheskas pe'ula, and therefore she doesn't get knas. Now we can talk about the case of Shivcha. Shivcha means that she's a Shivcha Knainis. So as far as Be'ila is concerned, once again we have a Chazaka of Hefker, and she was Niveles because the Shichur took place when she was older, when she was past the age of 3. Now of these 3 categories, 2 out of the 3 are muskam, are universally accepted, but the case of Shvuya is a machlokus. And now the Mishnah quotes the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda omer Shvuya sheniftes harei hi b'kedush asa afal pi shegidol. So in the case of a Shvuya, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, will see that there are all sorts of contradictions to this, maintains that she still has a cheskas besula, and therefore the ma'anes would have to pay knas if she's a nara. Now as far as Gioris and Shivcha is concerned, Rabbi Yehuda has no contention. He agrees that there's no knas and she has a cheskas be'ula because of the hefker lifestyle and she's past the age of 3. And this is based on a principle called lo haya daiton lihizgayer. Now, in the case of the shivcha in the case of the shvuya, she was hoping and anticipating that she would be freed and she'd go back to live in the Jewish community. So she would do whatever she could to stave off any sort of be'ila. But in the case of a non-Jewish woman, she doesn't have any anticipation of joining the Jewish community. That's called Ein Daito Lizgayer. And therefore she's not Shomeres Atzma, even though ultimately she did become a Gioris, or in the case of a Shivcha Shenifte, she did become a full-fledged Gioris, but nevertheless she didn't anticipate that. Now, the basic principle of our Mishnah in these cases is that she has a chazaka of hefker, and all this might be really a reflection of another chazaka, namely a cheskas of mama. The Baal has a cheskas mama, and if you want to prove that he has to pay the 50 kesef as knas in the case of onus vata, then the burden of proof is on the motzi, and she has to prove that she's a besula, or she was a besula at the time of the onus, and she can only do so if she has a strong chazaka to rely on. If she doesn't have a chazaka, she's becheskes hefker, she cannot be motzi mama. And the issue that I'm touching upon, or hinting at, alluding to, I would say, is the question of whether or not her status vis-a-vis kahuna has changed. And, for example, a woman who is born into a family of kohanim, she's allowed to eat truma, she's a bas kohen, unless she has this be'ila relationship, which would pasul her for achilas truma. Do we assume a cheskas hefker, a cheskas be'ula, as far as pasuling her for truma is concerned? Now again, all this is based on the assumption that the cheskas hefker in the case of a gioris, etc., is a doraisa halach, and therefore should apply to kahuna, unless we assume that it's a reflection of his cheskas mamon, it has no impact on achilas truma. Tosfos, if you take a look at Tosfos in Masechta Elul, he's assuming that this cheskas hefker that undermines and vitiates her cheskas psul is only a derabbanan halacha, and that derabbanan halacha was only instituted in certain areas and not in other areas. So the question of truma remains a doraisa halacha. Now we go on to the braisa as far as kimle b'deramine is concerned. And here we have a contrast between the first Mishnah and the second. In the first Mishnah, or if you want to call it the Reisha, the principle of Kimle Bramine was suspended because there was no Chiv Misa. But here, in the Sefer, our Mishnah Bal Bito, there's a whole list of Arayas which generate a Chiv Misa, and therefore, the principle of Kimle Bramine would apply. Haba al bito, o al bas bito, al bas bino, al bas ishto, bas bino, bas bito, ein lem knas b'nei shemischai b'nafsho, shemisoson b'dei bezdin. Now this is interesting because we know that Bito is a Chiyuv Misa, and now we're adding Bas Bito or Bas Bino, and now we have Bas Ishto, who was born from another husband, or Bas Bino, which is a case of Ishto Mibal Acher, or Bas Bito. Now the Rishonim have a kash over here. Baal Bito doesn't pay knas. She'im Acher Hoya Baaleo Hoya Knas Le'av V'kancha Av Baaleo Le'mi Yochol Litenes HaKnas. What was the Hamamina that there would be a knas in the case of Baal Bito? Who's he paying the knas to? Someone else had beer with this girl, this Nara, he would pay her. He would pay her father, meaning him. Now he himself had the beer. Who's he going to pay? Is he going to take the money from one end and give it to the other? Unless we assume that the father himself, after this onus, died, and she has rights to collect from the Yorshim. Or, for example, a case where she became a Bogeris before Hamana Bedin, and she collects the Knas in such a case. Alternatively, it could be that we're talking about a case of Narash and his Arsav and his Garsha. And according to at least one version, Rabbi Akiva, once she was nisaras and nisgarash, is knas liatzma. So in all these possible scenarios, the Mishnah tells us that there is no knas because of kimle b'derabamine. Now, the Mishnah continues by establishing the source for kimle b'derabamine. Kol v'schayim v'nafshu en mishalim b'omen shenemar. Right, in the case of a fight, and he hits what he thinks is his friend, but he hits a pregnant woman, and the Torah says that if she loses her her vlados, the kinotsu anosh nokfu isha harav yotsuila dev, lo yason anoshia nech. That if she does not perish as a result of this blow, then he pays dmei vlados, implying that if she perished, he would not pay dmei vlados. Ha'im haya ason lo ye onish. And that's based on the principle of kimle midarabimini. Now, there's a case of Baal Eshes Aviv, which is apparently a Chiv Misa that was omitted from this Mishnah. And we have to apply the principle here of Tana Vashir, that this is not an exhaustive list. There are other cases of an Erev that's a Chiv Misa that's not, that are at least one case that was omitted from the Mishnah. Another possibility is that Eishes Aviv means that she already entered into Erisin. Now, again, would Erisin be enough to be Mafkia Knas? I don't know. That's interesting. You know, the list in our Mishnah of Suos Shalonis Aris, before Erisin, Eishes Aviv is already an Arusa, and therefore she's not included. Now, does that mean that she forfeits her Cheskas Psula? I don't know. I mean, I would assume not. So, for example, if there was no Erva relationship here, and she was an Arusa, and then she was divorced, she would still be included in the parish of Onus Umefata as far as the Knas is concerned. Now, the pasuk says, "Im ason yiyev and asato nefesh tachas nefesh." And our Mishnah is medayik from the beginning of the pasuk when it says, "Im ason yiyev v'lo lamda misirum haposuk." The Mishnah is not quoting the end of the pasuk where it says, Im ye ason ye onesh b'misa, which implies that he would not pay mama. He says because the ason that's mentioned here, shenizkar shom ola la isha. Okay, so this touches on a whole machlokas here. How you interpret the pasuk im ason yiyeh v'nasato nefesh tachas nefesh. According to the Chachamim, he's chayim misa, even though he was kaveh larog es chaver v'horgas ha'isha. But Rebbe argues with the Chachamim, and he says that the implication of this pasuk nefesh tachas nefesh is mamon, that he has to pay to the Yorshim of this woman the amount of money that she would get if she was sold in the Shuk. And according to Rebbe, we would not be able to medayik anything about Kimleb the Ramine, because this, we're not talking about a Chiyuv Misa at all. He was Miskamin Larugas Chavir Vaharugas Aisha. And according to Rebbe, there's no Chiyuv Misa in such a case. Truth is that even according to the Chachamim, that the pasuk is really referring to a chiyuv misa, and nefesh tachas nefesh means we put you to death, even though you didn't have kavanah for this isha, we could still say that this pasuk is adding misa to tashlumen. It's not coming to exclude tashlumen. But the diuk of our Mishnah is from the beginning of the pasuk, and even if we assume that lo yason, that when it says im ason yiyev v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, referring to misa, to a chiyuv misa, we can still assume that this chiyuv misa is in addition to the chiyuv tashlum. And that's why the diuk, again, I'm just repeating of the was from the reish of the pasuk, im yason is lo yonesh. There it says explicitly. No, I'm sorry. It says lo yason anosh yonesh, that because she survived, therefore he doesn't pay, implying that had she died, he would not pay them. We know Chiyuv Tashlum. So let's just understand that the Gemara now, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dosa, Omer Dover Echad, is going to begin a sugya in which we identify Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah with Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, Hadamaron, he says that in the case of Shvuya there is Knas, because she's B'kdushasa, she maintains her Cheskas Psula, even during her Shevi. Rabbi Dosa, Desanya, Shvuya Chelis B'truma, that she can continue to eat truma, so she's a bas kohen. We don't assume that she was neveles, she was raped by in Shevi, and therefore she has the status of donor, which passes her to truma. And therefore, becheskas kedushasa shalom nivel. A divrei Rabbi Dosa. Oh, Rabbi Dosa, v'chima osala arabi alaz, v'tnei shemiach la bein dodea, psalam in akuhuna. Did she become a ba'ula based on this Aravi Zeh? He's fooling around with her, but he doesn't have ba'ula. In other words, both Rabbi Dosa and Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah assume that Shvuyah's Becheskas Besula, Betara, she can continue to be Ocheles Betruma, and she collects Knas in Ones Umefata. Now, some reject Rabbi Dosa. Let's call them Chacham. The Chacham Cholkim are Rabbi Dosa. Why? Because it all depends. If there are Edim that testify that she was a Shvuya and she doesn't have a Migu, that's going to be a Psul as far as Truma is concerned. But let's say, for example, there are no Edim. Ein Edim Shenishbeis. So it's Hodas Ha'isha. She comes along, she says, Nishbeisi Utahorani. Then she has what's called a Pesha Asar, a Pesha Hita, because had she said nothing, she would be believed to say that she's still B'kdusha Asakaimi, that she was not Nivala. Kevan She'en on a Yodim Shenishbeis, Elmi Tok Tvareha, on a Ma'minim La Shetahorani. She's believed to say that she's a Torah. Aval im yesh edim shenishbeis v'yomer tahora ani einu ne'menes v'yeno ochel truma, and therefore she would lose her knas of onus and mafata because her chazak would be a cheskas bu'u. So we'll stop here, and in Birtz Hashem tomorrow we're going to try, if we have time, to pick up the sugya of Rabba, and the Gemara is going to say that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda is instituting a whole new halacha here to make him pay the knas, not because she really has truly a cheskas pesula, but because of a new principle of lo yehechote nisk. Okay, so that's the sugya here on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and Ritz Hashem, bleed out tomorrow.